Afternoon is Dr. Phil Bauer with USDA ARS at Florence, South Carolina. He's going to be talking about tillage effects on early growth and nutrient accumulation. Phil?
And Wayne, I don't think it was very fair of you to call me while I was on furlough to do this.
Vacation.
All right. What I want to talk today about is a little bit about fertilizer and nutrient management in general, between conservation and conventional tillage. And then I'll end up talking about some data we took from some plots that we've had in a no-till versus disc-till comparison since 1978 on nutrient management or nutrient accumulation. Before I begin, I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated and Cater Hake in particular for funding that supported part of the research on that I'm going to report today. All right, we're all concerned about nutrients in water, nitrous oxides in air, but since the early 2000s, nutrient management's become even more important because of the price of fertilizers. This is from the ERS website, and you can see although nitrogen's gone up quite a bit, phosphorus and potassium have gone up a lot, and they're up and down a lot in that high range. When we think about conventional versus conservation tillage, of course, the first thing we think about is soil carbon. And this is some data from those plots that have been in no-till or conventional since 1978. This is after 25 years. You can see the soil carbon is at the surface, much higher at the 0 to 2 and the 2 to 4 inch levels, a little less difference farther down. Of course, that soil carbon, of course, plus the residues on the surface are going to affect soil water, both soil water holding capacity, infiltration, and evaporation from the soil surface. And then with a residue cover and a little wetter soil, soil temperatures are going to be modified, which are going to affect crop growth. As far as nutrient elements in comparing the two tillage systems, the literature seems to suggest that we really need to be concerned about four: nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and sulfur. And I'll go through those four quickly. For nitrogen, two things to be concerned about. First of all, soils managed with conservation tillage have lower nitrogen mineralization rates. So basically, if you're not working in the residues, they're not getting mixed in with the bacteria that'll break those down, so the nitrogen isn't released as fast. Secondly, because of the better soil water holding capacity of the soil and better soil water conditions in general, conservation tillage has the potential for higher yield. And this can result in a higher optimum N rate. Now, these are some data. I'm sorry, I thought that would show up a little bigger. But these are some data Don Bouquet at Louisiana collected, and it really illustrates both these points. This line here is conventional tillage. This line here is no-till from 0 to 140 pounds of nitrogen across the bottom. And you can see with basically winter weeds at the low N rate, no-till had lower yields than conventional tillage, but the line quickly crossed as you increased N rates and it ended up with a higher yield potential. With a wheat cover crop, more residues, this difference at the low rates was even higher, so people are thinking about organic farming and low-input sustainable farming. Might be very interested in this. With no-till, the yields were much lower, but the yield potential, again, with the wheat cover crop was much, much higher. When you had a vetch cover crop, which is a legume, basically no difference in tillage systems. Okay. Couple things about phosphorus. Phosphorus accumulates at the soil surface with conservation tillage. You know, the guys that have been working with no-till since the 60s have known this. This accumulation at the surface, though, can increase availability with conservation tillage simply by, it's like banding. If you put it all at the soil surface, the soil particles, the aluminum, the calcium, everything that'll tie up the phosphate get saturated, so you get higher phosphorus availability with those higher levels up there. And these are some data from Glover Triplett and Warren Dick. They published in 2008 on two soils in Ohio where it was either plowed or with no-till. And you can see in the total top foot of the soil, so total phosphorus was exactly the same with these two soils. But under for available phosphorus, the available phosphorus in the top half inch of no-till was much higher than the total phosphorus in the top 3 inches of conventional till, showing that the availability is much, much higher when it's concentrated like that. The other thing about phosphorus with conservation tillage, tillage impacts mycorrhizal fungi and can change the hyphal net, and people have reported higher phosphorus uptake with no-till due to a better mycorrhizal association. Okay, for potassium, that can accumulate at the soil surface with conservation tillage on some soils. The soils I work on are more sandy soils, and the potassium actually leaches pretty good through there. But like nitrogen, with potassium, you can get a higher yield potential, which may require a higher potassium rates. And Jack Farco published some very dramatic data that illustrated this. Back in 2000, he was running a phosphorus rate study with 0 to 210 pounds of K2O per acre. And the first 3 years he did this study, he did it with conventional tillage, and he found no response to the rate of phosphorus. Then after the first 3 years, he switched to no tillage, and the mean yield for those 3 years are here, and you see he found a nice response. So higher yield potential increased, caused a response to the added phosphorus. Okay, sulfur, just like nitrogen, reduced availability with conservation tillage because of lower mineralization rates. A couple slides about soil sampling because of this. Back in 1994, John Kovar wrote a chapter for Southern Soil Sampling Series, Soil Fertility Series, and he recommended that with reduced tillage, sample the surface 3 to 4 inches for P and K and pH, or to the depth of tillage. For no tillage, basically the same thing, sample the surface 3 to 4 inches, but you might want to pull a sample from the surface 2 inches for pH if the nitrogen is broadcast, because ammonification will lead to acidification of that soil surface. Another thing you might want to consider is, in addition to vertical stratification of nutrients, we also get horizontal stratification in some systems, banding of fertilizers in particular, but controlled traffic. And now with GPS and the like, we will see more of that. But we need to be concerned when sampling that we're taking random samples throughout across the row, across the rows. Here are some data that I collected back in the 90s, looking at soil test P and K levels after 3 years of beans and then 3 years of corn. Basically, we just moved the rows over an inch or two every year. And we sampled in the row and in the mid-row, both for phosphorus and potassium. And you can see that for phosphorus, levels were, first of all, phosphorus levels were higher with conservation tillage, as we sort of expect in the top 2 inches. But in both tillage systems, we had more phosphorus in the mid-row than in the row. With potassium, it was just the opposite. Again, on our sandy soils, we don't accumulate potassium on the surface like the heavier soils. But in row, potassium was extremely high compared to the levels in the mid-row. So sampling both vertically and horizontally are important for conservation tillage systems. Okay, let's shoot for high yields when we're talking about cotton and not talk about our drought years. This is the nutrient accumulations, the maximum estimated uptake in a whole crop of a four-bale irrigated yield or irrigated crop in Australia. 206 pounds of nitrogen, 44 pounds of phosphorus, 278 pounds of potassium, 63 pounds of sulfur, 257 pounds of calcium, and 64 pounds of magnesium. What they estimated was taken up by that crop. Now, most of that, in a high-yielding crop like that, more than 50% of those nutrients are going to be taken up during flowering and boll fill. But early season, we often see many differences between conventional and conservation tillage and early growth. This is a picture of some corn in our long-term no-till plots, some young corn, and you can see the plants are bigger with conventional tillage or conservation tillage than they are with conventional. So what we plan to do and what we did in this experiment was just try to document the nutrient uptake and the biomass accumulation from conventional and no-till early in the season. Here's a picture of the fields from the NRCS website with the soil map. You can see there's basically three soils. This is the outline of the plots. This is about 10 acres or great big plots. We got 20 plots in here, 10 are corn, 10 are cotton, and we switch back and forth every year. These three soils here, this is the Norfolk, Goldsboro, Eunola, Loamy Sands, or Sandy Loams rather. They're all very similar. The differences are in the subsoil primarily. And this area right over in here is a low area. This is a rains soil, little higher organic matter, higher water holding capacity. But most of the plots, it's almost impossible in our part of the world to get on one soil unless you have two plant plots. So what we did was we planted Stoneville 4115 in mid-May, both in 2012 and 2013. We put out 80 pounds of nitrogen and 10 pounds of sulfur, as recommended for rain-fed cotton in our state. Collected plant samples beginning at two-week intervals, beginning approximately 2 weeks after emergence. We got a little late with it the first year, and we took four samples. So we sampled for 8 weeks after, basically 10 weeks after it emerged, and then we sent the samples to Clemson and had the Clemson Ag Lab analyze them for nutrients. And I'm going to talk about nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and sulfur today. Before I get into that, these were the soil test levels of the surface 6 inches. Even though we had a difference in phosphorus with conventional, this is Malik 1, by the way, difference in phosphorus, these levels are rated as high on this soil. For potassium, they were small differences, but they flipped when we switched to the other plots, so you can see the potassium isn't accumulating in either one any differently. Okay, here's the biomass data. In 2012, we actually didn't get the first sample till 26 days after planting, a little after the first 2 weeks after emergence. but then at 2-week intervals. 2013, we started at 20 days after planting and went up to 62 days after planting. I tried to put all this, was going to put all these two together, but I really couldn't because basically it's really two different times, so I'm sorry, but you're going to have to look at twice as much data in these slides. Anyway, both years were good cotton years, good rainfall, and the only time we saw a significant difference in biomass accumulation was here at 40 days in 2012, where conventional was actually higher than no-till. So this is that same data just averaged over the two tillage systems for the 2 years, and basically with a little bit of a delay, we're basically looking at the same accumulation curve with these 2 years. These are our lint yields in both years. Again, dry land yields, these are pretty good. Conventional tillage was 1,350 pounds roughly, and conservation in 2012. 2013 was a very, very wet year, and I think it was just too wet for the conservation tillage. It didn't dry out, and yields were a little bit less. That cotton, a lot of that cotton got really, really rank compared to the conventional tillage. But as far as nutrient accumulation, the only thing we saw early season was for phosphorus and for sulfur. And I've highlighted those in yellow. And not every time was significant, but over the 2 years it was pretty consistent that those were the two nutrients that are being affected. So I'm not going to show you the nitrogen accumulation data by tillage system, but here it is for the 2 years. You can see at about 69 days after planting, we've accumulated almost 100 pounds, about 90 pounds of nitrogen, with most of it being accumulated in the last 2 weeks before that. For phosphorus, again, this was significant, and in all cases when they were different, we saw higher phosphorus in the no-till than in the conventional both years. Times biomass by concentration, you get accumulation. Little higher accumulation with no-till, but not a great amount. Potassium, again, that wasn't significant, but again, about 100 pounds, like nitrogen, about 100 pounds of accumulation by 70 days. Sulfur, what we found was this tillage, because of the was always higher in concentration than no-till, both in both years, and then accumulation was higher when it was significant for conventional tillage. Okay, so to sum up, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and sulfur appear to be the nutrients that we need to be concerned about with conservation tillage because of nutrient stratification, especially for P and K, mineralization for nitrogen and sulfur, and then yield potential. This data we took indicates differences in P and K and S concentrations in these young plants. And my two co-authors on this paper are both soil microbiologists, and they're busy analyzing the soils and the roots from these plants for bacteria and fungi. And hopefully we'll have that very shortly. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Okay. Any questions for Phil? Right.
I'm a little bit slow. Your slide that showed 2013 yields were much better in conventional tillage.
Yeah.
You attributed that to a wetter year. Well, are you planting these crops, conventional and conservation, on raised beds?
No.
Flat.
This was flat planted.
Could you repeat that question?
Oh. Question is, did we... Yeah, but then we couldn't do no-till. These plots have been no-till since 1978. So if we threw dirt up every year, we would change both the chemistry and the microbiology in there. I agree with you, raised beds might have taken the problem. You also noticed that yields were a little less for both conventional and conservation tillage, and that rain soil kind of hurt us. We couldn't get in to make stink bug sprays.
It interfered with something else you needed to do, right?
Yeah. And I didn't want to confuse it by bringing it up, but I was thinking it might come as a question, so I was ready. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate that.